Buenas tardes todos o todas. I'd like to honor the two great men that were here in memory of Don Samuel Ruiz Garcia and Felipe de Toussaint Louela. And I would also like to honor this extraordinary place, the vision of its founder, Senor Raimundo, and the people and communities of Chiapas who have together made a most extraordinary place, that an example that rings around the planet. Chiapas and Oaxaca and the people of Mexico Profunda have many issues and concerns in common with our Maori and European people of New Zealand. We are both facing the aftermath of colonization, and indigenous concerns are high on our political and social and cultural agendas. We are also having to confront the madness of neoliberal policies and the huge imbalances and suffering that they cause. But we're also linked by the Pacific, an ocean of peace that washes the shores of both our countries. But while you are large, we are very small. And if you look at a map of the world, as we see over here, New Zealand is either down the bottom on the edge or often left off altogether. But perhaps that's understandable. New Zealand was the last landmass to be settled by people, by the indigenous Maori people. The Maori were extraordinary navigators. They sailed across the Pacific to the shores of South America. They may even have reached the shores of your great country. They arrived on the islands 750 years ago, and a very extraordinary culture then evolved. In the early part of the 1800s, whalers and sealers arrived from the northern hemisphere to plunder the resources. Trees were cut down so that the British sailing ships, the F-111s of their time, could carry on guarding the empire. And the oil from whales and seals created the beginnings of the Industrial Revolution. And a treaty was put in place that was signed between the Maori chiefs and the representative of the English government. This treaty, signed in 1840, was unusual. It was influenced by humanitarian thinking of the time, after Wilberforce and his friends had managed to outlaw slavery. The treaty recognized both Maori expectations and the hopes of Europeans, and gave rights of citizenship to everybody. This promise of coexistence and mutual benefit was then short-lived as more and more European settlers arrived. Many of the settlers were economic refugees from the land clearances in Scotland, from the enclosure of the commons in England, and from the harshness of the Industrial Revolution. The settlers were hungry for land, and after settler governments were established, the usual pattern of colonization occurred. Land wars, the confiscation of land by Maori tribes, and the outlawing of Maori language and customs. However, Maori communities kept their cultural life intact, away from the barbs of colonization. In the 1970s, after many Maori were forced from their tribal rural lands into the cities, young educated people were influenced by the civil rights movements in the United States of America. The social protests began, and these grew until such that the state was forced to recognize them and address Maori concerns in 1975. A special independent tribunal made up of both Maori and Europeans was established. It heard the grievances of Maori tribes. It went back to the times of first settlement, and recommendations were made by the tribunal to the government. This truth and reconciliation process has continued since 1975 and the 1980s. It has given great impetus to the Maori Renaissance. It has enabled Maori to enter into the corridors of power. We now have recognition in the legislation of Maori customs and Maori traditions. Court decisions have been made in the favour of Maori in many instances. All our public policy has to recognise the treaty and Maori principles and values. And tribal organisations are now gaining access to state resources. There has also been a total rewriting of New Zealand history from a Maori perspective. As you can imagine, this has caused great debate in New Zealand society. However, the truth and reconciliation process is now accepted by all our political parties, left and right, and the other major institutions of society. Maori are regaining autonomy, especially in education, where they run the education system from preschool to universities, or taught in the Maori language. There was Maori radio and TV stations. And Maori are represented in our parliament, both MPs and major parties and a Maori party. But there are, of course, many challenges. Maori and their European friends are confronting neoliberal policies. Environmental NGOs and Maori are working on major environmental concerns. And there is ongoing collaboration between Maori and European communities. In all these things, groups working on the margins are finding ways to act for the common good. And it's useful to use metaphors. Your great people use a karakole. We use the metaphor of a back eddy. A river, as a river flows, on the edge of the river, the countercurrents that go in opposition to the main flow. If these extraordinary examples of energy on the margins are to really take root, and if our links are to grow, we have to embrace our open and our common heart. Gracias.